Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit would be upon us here now, that your Spirit would fill me. You'd help me to say, Father, what I ought to say, what should be said, what needs to be said. Father, I pray that we'd be yielded to the Spirit in our hearts and lives today, that our spirit would be open to your Spirit, that we would receive from the Word of God what you want us to receive, what you want us to hear, what you want us to do. And Father, let us be those Christians that walk circumspectly in our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated there. The title of the message is just from that verse there, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. The Apostle Paul commanded the Christians in the church of Ephesus to be careful with how they lived their lives. He used here the word circumspectly to describe how they are supposed to live. They're to live circumspectly. They're to live very carefully and make sure they're walking in the way that they ought to walk. To walk circumspectly means to be watchful, to be discreet, to be cautious, to be prudent. In other words, he was commanding them not to live a careless life in the way that a fool would, but to live a prudent and careful and cautious life the way that a wise person should. To walk circumspectly, they were to remember that they're representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of us are. All of us, if we are call ourselves a Christian, or if we've been saved and we know the Lord, we've been born again, we are Christians. We are to be His disciples, and we're to walk circumspectly because we represent our Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth. And the Apostle Paul, speaking to them, wanted their testimony to be such that those around them would be obviously able to tell that you're a Christian. That you're Christians, and there is something very different about you. Anywhere we go, we're to be representatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Or some people never pick up a Bible and read it, but to you who's supposed to be a Christian, that's the book that they're reading. That's the book that they're reading to see, this is what a Christian's like. This is what Christianity is all about. Oh, okay, I think I want that, or no, I don't think I want that. For some, your life is going to be the Bible that they read. It's going to be what they read to decide if they would like to be a Christian. And because of that, we need to be circumspect at all times, everywhere we go. We need to be circumspect in the place that we work so as not to discredit the name of Jesus Christ. In our workplace, we ought to be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be a good testimony in how we behave and how we talk and how we act and the things that we do and the way that we treat people. We should be circumspect in our neighborhood so that others can see what the Christian life is supposed to be. We need to be circumspect. Be careful about how we walk. Be careful about how we're living, because our neighbors, they may know that you're supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be a Christian. And they're going to watch and they're going to see our example. And we need to walk circumspectly. Walk in such a way that it would be a good testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. We should walk circumspectly in our home. Now, that's the most important. Because if you walk circumspectly in your home, you'll be circumspect for your neighbors, and you'll be circumspect in your workplace. I guarantee you, it needs to start in our home. Will we walk circumspectly in our home so that our children will know how to live the Christian life, both in public and in private? We need to walk circumspectly in our homes. Because you know what? Our children are looking. Our children will be watching. Listen, our children will be observing, and they'll be seeing. They'll be seeing maybe how we act on a Sunday morning and how we act on a Monday morning. They'll see how we act on Sunday and maybe how we act on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And it all needs to agree. It all needs to line up. It all needs to be the same, that they see us setting a good example and being a good testimony. They ought to see you pick up your Bible and read it in church on a Sunday, and they ought to be able to see you pick up your Bible and read it on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. They ought to see you in church be able to sing the songs of God and praise the Lord from your heart, and they ought to be able to see you in your home be able to sing the songs of God and praise the Lord from your heart. We're setting an example for our children, and we need to walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Be careful about how we behave. Be careful about how we treat people. Be careful about how we control our temper. Be careful about how we use our tongues. Be careful about the things that we do and say. I want us just to look at these scriptures this morning and learn some things about how we can walk circumspectly. Keep your Bible open there, and we're going to look at a few verses. Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning there in verse number 8. The first thing I want to say this morning, I'm going to share probably four things about how we should walk circumspectly or how we can learn to walk circumspectly. And number one is this morning. We need to be circumspect with our fellowship. Be circumspect with our fellowship. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Of course, the Bible teaches us in other places we once were children of darkness, but if we're saved now, we're children of light and so on. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Look what it says in verse 11. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We need to be circumspect with our fellowship. With our fellowship. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says this, "How can two walk together except they be agreed?" How can two walk together except they be agreed? This is pretty difficult to walk together with those that are not in agreement with us. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we make choices to maybe walk with some that are not necessarily walking the same direction we're walking. Or not walking with those that maybe want to walk the same way that we should be wanting to walk. But can I tell you something? If you walk together with those walking in a different direction, or you walk together with those that are walking in darkness, it's going to be pretty difficult not to be influenced by them. And some of you could maybe testify to times in your life when you even knew that you were supposed to walk as a child of light, but maybe you walked with those in darkness, and perhaps some many things or some things about your life began to become like those who were walking in darkness. Listen, we need to be careful about our fellowship. If we're a child of God, if we're children of the light, we need to walk as children of light. That means we're not to walk with those that are walking in darkness. We need to be careful or be circumspect about our fellowship. You will eventually become like those with whom you fellowship. So if you want to be with a crowd that loves God and is living for God, it'd be good to walk with that crowd. But if you want to be with a crowd that's maybe discontent or discouraged or defies God or doesn't care at all or wants to walk in darkness, hey, whatever it may be, you can choose what crowd you walk with. We need to be circumspect about who we walk with, the crowd we walk with, those that we fellowship with. Be careful who you choose to be your close friends. As a Christian, we should be friends with those with whom Christ would be pleased. Could Christ look at their life and be pleased with their life? Well, that should be those that we want to make our friends. That should be those that we say, "I'm going to walk with them. I'm going to fellowship with them. They're the ones that I'm going to spend time with." John chapter 8 and verse 12 teaches us that we're not supposed to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light. We're going to come back to Ephesians, but look at one verse with me in the book of Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, of course, many of you would probably know this verse. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Be careful about your fellowship. Walk circumspectly when it comes to your fellowship. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Look what the Bible tells us. "He that walketh with wise men shall be" what? Wise. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You shouldn't run with those who practice the works of darkness. We should fellowship with those who practice the works of light. We'll never live the Christian life successfully if we're careless about those with whom we fellowship.
And walking circumspectly is the exact opposite, really, about just being careless about our living, careless about who I'm going to fellowship with. No, we need to choose purposefully to walk with those who are walking as children of light. Walk with those who will be a good influence in our life. Because if we want our life to please God, we better be careful about who we fellowship with, who we spend a lot of close time with. We need to be circumspect. Be circumspect with our fellowship. If we're going to walk circumspectly, be circumspect with our fellowship. Number two, this morning, second thing is this. Be circumspect with your time. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And look there at verse number 15. We need to be circumspect with our time. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. We're supposed to make our time count for God. We need to be wise about how we use our time. We need to be making sure that our time and that our life is counting for eternity. Are we investing our time wisely? Do we waste a lot of time on things that really don't matter? Or are we purposefully choosing to redeem the time, to use our time on things that really matter? We should use our time wisely. It would be a shame to waste the time that God has given to us. Look back to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 39. Psalm chapter 39. I want to show you a couple chapters in the book of Psalms. A few verses here that are incredible verses, incredible thoughts about this. We need to be circumspect with our time, redeeming the time, being careful about how we use our time and making our life count for God. Time is priceless because once it is used, it cannot be taken back. Time is priceless because once it is used, it cannot be taken back. You know, it doesn't matter if you've seen any kind of movie in your life that, you know, goes forward in time or goes back in time. You can't do that. Okay? That's sci-fi. Is that be the right word? Or that's make-believe? I don't know if that's the right word or not. Listen, that's fiction. You got one life to live. You've got one life to live, and you better make sure that your life counts for God. Psalm chapter 39 and verse number 4. Psalm 39 and verse 4 says this, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am." Do you know you've only got so much time to live? You don't know if you're going to live to be 22, to be 45, to be 65, to be 85. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know. One of these teenagers in here could suddenly have some blood tests and come back with a bad result, and we find out they're sick, and they could die with leukemia or die with some disease in a matter of a few years. Any one of us could be killed in a car accident this afternoon. We could be struck with a disease that comes and kills us at what we would think is a short time of life. Listen, we never know how much time we've got to live. We never know how long our life is going to be. And he said there, "Make me to know mine end. Make sure I understand that my life is short. Help me to understand the measure of my days. And make sure I value the time that I have and the life that I have and use it for God." He goes on in verse 5 and says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth." The width of your hand. You spread your hands out. To think that the length of your days, the length of your life, compared to eternity, is only about the width of you spreading out your hand there. That doesn't seem very much, does it? Doesn't seem very long, does it? Listen, our life is so short compared to eternity. We need to make sure our life counts for God. "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 9. Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 9. You found it there. It says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend." What an expression the Bible uses, eh? We spend. We're spending our time. We're spending our life. Some of you are careful about how you spend money. We need to be careful about how we spend our time. We're spending our life. Every hour that you spend, you're spending your life. Every week that you spend, you're spending a good portion of your life. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, a score being 20. So the days of most people's years on average would be 70 years, right? The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years in other words, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. What is life? It's even but a vapor, right? It's here and then gone. Our lives pass so quickly. Psalm 90 and verse down in verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because time is so precious and so valuable, be careful how you spend it. Don't waste your time on worthless causes or activity. Don't waste your time on things that have no value. Don't waste your time, as some of these verses said, just living for money. We only have one life to live. And we should use the time that we have to do as much for Christ as we can. If we're going to walk circumspectly, part of that is redeeming our time. Part of that is being careful how we spend our time, how we spend our days, how we spend our hours. Because in doing that, we're spending our life. Make sure we're spending our time wisely as a good investment for eternity. Because life is just like the width of a hand. It's very short compared to eternity. Be careful how you're spending your time. Be circumspect with your time. I said this first, be circumspect with your fellowship. Be careful about who you fellowship with. Be circumspect, number two, about your time. And number three, be circumspect with God's will for your life. Be circumspect with God's will for your life. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12. As you're turning there, here's a verse that we saw there in Ephesians 5 and verse 17 earlier. It says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, the thought of walking circumspectly, it's really about, you know, walking wisely, walking carefully, not being careless, not being foolish, instead being wise. He tells us, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I'm afraid too many people are careless about God's will for their life. Too many people take God's will for granted. You should be careful about how you live your life so that you don't ruin God's perfect will for your life. God's perfect will is something that ought to be desired. God's perfect will is something that we ought to be careful that we don't forfeit it or do things to ruin it. Yes, it's true, and it's a wonderful truth that God can always use us even if we mess up. We have a God who's a God of a second chance, and we can a second and third and fourth chance and fifth chance and so on. We can mess up some things, and sometimes we can maybe forfeit God's perfect will in our life. Sometimes we can mess things up, but thank God He can still use us. He's not through with us. But oh, how we need to be cautious and careful about not losing God's perfect will. Be cautious with all that you do and say and think and hear and see. All it takes is one moment of indiscretion and you can ruin God's will for your life. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. He says there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, God is a perfect will of God for your life. Jordan Tidd, God is a perfect will of God for your life. He is a perfect will for your life. Tracy, God is a perfect will for your life. Ashley, God is a perfect will for your life. Anthony, Barry, God is a perfect will for your life. And let's not do things that would forfeit God's will or take us out of God's will. Be careful. Be careful to walk circumspectly with your life. Be circumspect with God's will for your life. And finally, the last thing is this. Be circumspect with God's power. Be circumspect with God's power. It teaches us about being careful about those we fellowship with. Not fellowship with those who walk in darkness, but walk with those who walk in light. Be careful about your fellowship. Be careful about how you spend your time, that we redeem the time, that we spend it wisely, that we're making our life truly count for eternity. Be careful. Be circumspect about doing the will of God for our life. But we also need to be circumspect about God's power. Having God's power, not losing God's power in our life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 commands us to be filled with the Spirit. But you know what? We can see examples. One example in the Bible is a man named Samson who had the power of God on his life and he lost it. Don't let that be your story. On a daily basis, you should ask God to fill you with His power. To think that God wants us to have His power is an incredible thing. You know, Jesus ascended to heaven. He told the disciples to wait for the promise. The Father, the Holy Spirit was going to come. There were some people that were sure committed to being together, united in their hearts and in one accord and praying for that Holy Spirit to come, praying for that power to come. We need to be careful and circumspect, desiring God's power, wanting God's power, being sure not to lose God's power. Samson lost it. He lost God's power in his life. We on a daily basis should ask God to fill us with His power. When God empowers us, well, be careful that we don't do something that would cause Him to take His power away in our life. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 4 teaches us that we're not supposed to walk after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit. And can I tell you something? When we begin to walk after the flesh instead of walking after the Spirit, we're going to lose the power. You can't walk in sinfulness. You can't walk after the flesh and still be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You just cannot. Instead, we're going to be filled with sin. God can't come and fill a dirty vessel. Now thank God, by the washing of the Word of God, we can become clean vessels and the Spirit of God can fill us. He can fill us again if we'll let the Word of God wash us and cleanse us and purify us. But listen, if our lives are just filled with sin and we're walking after the flesh, we won't be filled with the Spirit of God. We're going to have to walk after the Spirit if we want to be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 teaches us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When we're living in sin, rather than walking in the Spirit, we'll lose the power of God upon our lives. We need to be careful to walk circumspectly, to live in such a way that we'll not lose God's power like Samson did. Samson lost God's power because of the sin in his life. Life is short. Be careful with how you live it. Don't let your life be one of regret because you were not circumspect in your daily life. Don't let your life be one of regret. Well, just because we were careless. We were careless about our fellowship, or we were careless about how we spent our time, or we were just careless about doing God's will for our life. Listen, God's will, to know it is the greatest knowledge possible, but to do God's will is the greatest achievement. We need to make sure that we're circumspect about God's will and not just careless about it. Make sure we're not careless about having God's power in our life, but say, God, I don't want to do anything to forfeit or lose your power in my life. We need to be circumspect. If you'll walk circumspectly, then you'll not look back on your life with regrets. With regrets. We need to walk circumspectly. Paul commanded them to walk circumspectly in how they live. Walk circumspectly, remembering that they're to be a good testimony. Walk circumspectly, remembering that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always need to be mindful of that as well. You and I, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be in the houses where we live, in the neighborhood where we live, in our workplace, in our church, amongst our relatives and so on. We're to walk circumspectly. Always be mindful of the fact that we are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that, be careful, not careless. Be careful, not careless. Be wise, not foolish. Walk circumspectly. How are we going to do that? Walk circumspectly in your fellowship. Walk with those walking in light. Don't walk with those walking in darkness. Be circumspect with your fellowship. Be circumspect with your time. Spend your time for God. Spend your time wisely. I've got some kids that are just completely loose with their money. If you gave them some money, if we didn't restrain them, they could just spend it just like that. We've got some that are very careful about how they spend their money. You know, we need to be careful with how we spend our time. Be careful about how you spend your days. Be careful about how you spend your hours. Make sure that your life is counting for God. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Make sure you're being mindful of your time. Make it count for God. Be circumspect with your fellowship. Be circumspect with your time. Be circumspect with God's will for your life. Don't be careless to just, well, it doesn't matter. No, be careful that you wouldn't miss God's will in your life. And be careful. Be circumspect with God's power. Realize that if we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh, we will lose God's power. If we walk in sin, we're going to lose God's power. You don't just get God's power and then just... No, we can lose it. We can quench the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. If you're saved, He indwells you. But let me tell you something. You can squash Him into a little weak corner of your spirit. We can really squelch Him in our life. Oh, we need to be careful. Walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Be circumspect with God's power. Be circumspect with God's will for your life. Be circumspect with your time. Be circumspect concerning your fellowship, your friendships, and that sort of thing.